Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Wonderful here. My website is www.jbsba. Put a .com on the end of that, and you'll find a little bit of small business heaven when you get there, and you can subscribe to my free newsletter, and it's another little piece of heaven, I guess I should say, and I think you'll like it. It comes every Sunday by email, and if you don't like it, if you decide that you don't like it, it's just not quite your cup of tea, well, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. We make everything easy for you, so check that out when you get a chance. Let me introduce you to our two guests this half hour, Steve DelBianco and Fred Siegel. Steve is a vice president with the Association for Competitive Technologies. You know who he is. He's been on the show many times before. And Fred Siegel is the guy who wrote the book called Investing for Cowards. You've heard Fred on this show a number of times before, too. He's one of our investing experts. Steve is one of our technology experts, and that's the topic today for this half hour, and that is Google. What's going on with Google these days? And I've asked both of these gentlemen to join us to talk to us about Google and their entry into the public capital markets. And Steve DelBianco, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. If you're Mr. Wonderful in Small Business Heaven, I guess that makes Fred and I Jim's angels.
That's exactly right, Fred. What do you think about that, Fred Siegel?
Hey, that may catch on. That's a good one.
Say hi to Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Steve, can you hear Fred okay?
I do now. Morning,
okay,
Fred.
Good day.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Okay, well, let's set the stage for this discussion. Steve, I'm going to ask you to do that by telling us a little bit about this thing that is Google.
Yes, and I think you can tell most about companies when you answer the simple question, well, what is it that they make? What do they make? Well, Google makes money. Google makes money. They probably will do over $300 million in profits this year, which is over in excess of a 10% profit margin, and they're growing those earnings at about 60% a year. I'll leave it to Fred to figure out what that company should be worth in the market, but the way they do this is a combination of selling paid-for-results advertising, and they also provide infrastructure services to other websites that need search engine technology. So they're leveraging their basic technology in two important ways. They sell their technology to other firms that need it, and they also use their technology to provide targeted advertising results when people use the Google search engine.
Mm-hmm.
So your listeners may go into Google, put in a search term, like Hilton Hotel, for instance, and Google is going to show them lots of listings for Hilton Hotel, but on the right-hand side, they'll show a handful of paid advertising links. It might be Hilton itself. It could be a travel agency. It could even be competing chains. And that'll all show up on the right. And those advertisers pay for the placement, and they also pay for the click-throughs when people actually select one of those links. So it's an advertising and technology company.
You know, Fred, good job, Steve. That's the best I've ever heard anybody explain Google, and I know you've got some more things that you're going to say about them in a little bit, but Fred, I knew Google was going to be in a good investment for somebody one day, and then I knew it was for the owners already when Google became a verb.
That's true.
So
that's right. You can Google, you're all right, and you know, that's why it captured the attention of so many people, because so many use it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fred, speaking there of the network effects, that something like Google becomes more valuable the more people that use it. And that's not a true network effect in the case of Google, but there was a lot of buzz around the company. When somebody said to Fred, hey, I Googled you and I found out what you've been up to, that's bound to make you curious enough to try it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that when people tried it, they found Google to be a fast search engine that produced uncluttered and relevant search results. They had the other innovations of allowing you to look at the images or to look at news, and they've also delivered an excellent free daily news summary page that a lot of folks are using as their homepage. The proof is in the pudding, and most people, when they tried the pudding with Google, they liked it enough that they not only make it their favorite search engine, but a lot of folks installed the Google toolbar in their browser. Mm-hmm. The Google toolbar allows the little Google search engine to be at the top of your browser window, not in the way, but just at the top, so you're instantly able to do a Google search while you're doing your regular browsing on the Internet. Look, this company produces products and services that work. That's the fundamental here. We can't be too cynical about the wealth that was created with the IPO this week, but this is a company who makes stuff that works.
Well, let me say this, Steve. As you know, I mean, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything cynical about it. I mean, I'm really the only thing. It is interesting. It is interesting to me some of the textures of this IPO. Some of the things that happened are interesting to me. When we come back, Fred Siegel's going to help us with that. We're going to get him to explain to us what a modified Dutch auction is. That's what it was, a modified Dutch auction. That's how they rolled out their IPO, which is very unusual, not unprecedented, but unusual. We're going to get Fred to explain that to us, and we're going to talk some more with our good friends Steve Del Bianco and Fred Siegel. 20 Tales, stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friends Fred Siegel and Steve Del Bianco. Fred is the author of Investing for Cowards, and Steve is VP with the Association for Competitive Technology. Fred's one of our top stock market experts on the Brain Trust, and Steve's one of our top technology experts on the Brain Trust. And so we're talking about Google, and Fred, Steve gave us an outstanding tour of Google and all the things that they do in the previous segment. Now, what I'd like you to do is help us a little bit with their foray into the public market arena. They decided to go to the public markets and raise some capital, and so they had their IPO this week. Now, tell us, can you give us a little bit of the? Have you been following what's been going on with Google and this whole? Modified Dutch auction angle. Can you help us with that?
Yeah, you know, normally when a company comes public or has an IPO, which stands for the initial public offering, when they first come public with shares that the average person can buy, they do it through investment bankers, and the investment bankers do their evaluation, and they offer it to the public at a certain price, whatever price they choose.
Aren't those guys market makers? Isn't that what don't they also?
Well, they create market makers, and because the market maker is the one that buys and sells the stock, makes it possible to do that. Kind of like the specialist on the New York Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, what Google decided to do, which is similar to some other companies. They kind of cut out the investment banking decision-making process and said, we're going to let it leave it up to the public. It's going to become an auction instead, and it's called the Dutch auction. And then basically what that means is people will open an account, a brokerage account, and then they're going to put in a bid for however many shares they want of the new stock Google, and they're going to tell them how much they want to pay, how much per share. And nobody can see the other person's bid, but as the bids accumulate and all of the shares are now allocated by bid, then it comes public, and everybody gets the price of the stock, gets the stock for the price of the lowest bid that has been allocated.
For the price of the lowest bid.
That
was allocated, but, yeah. Okay.
Now what happened with Google, we don't know right now what all the bids were, at least I haven't seen, but... They altered at the last minute the number of shares and so forth, but they put the bid at $85, and that's what it came public at, and of course it closed at a little over $100.
Mm-hmm.
So it proved to be a good thing for the lowest bidder. So people may have bid $120 a share, but they got it for $85 as long as they were allocated that stock, and of course they would have to carry it over. If it ended up being $120, they'd have to buy that. So some people got a better deal than they expected. If someone bid $84.99 off a penny, they got nothing.
They got nothing. So,
right.
And Steve, Fred, excellent job. That was a great tour there of how the modified Dutch auction works, and especially in this case. Steve, I looked into this. I tried to study a little bit about how this was going to work, and frankly, it turned me off. Not that the guys were all busted up that I didn't bid anything and didn't put my many hundreds of millions of dollars behind them, but that kind of a process turned me off. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It wasn't designed to please you. and me.
Oh, really?
It was designed to please the company itself, Google, because in the ordinary, customary way of going public, and Fred can expand on this, but investment bankers would set a price they felt they were comfortable moving the stock. But typically in the aftermarket, in the hours and days after the stock was initially allowed to go public, the price could shoot up. It could pop.
Yeah.
And the company is sitting there scratching their head saying, my goodness, why'd you take us public at $11 a share? It's trading
right.
at $30 a share today.
Right.
All that money could have been ours.
All the company got was 11 instead of what it wound up being.
That's right. And, you know, I don't know why the company... It's like crying with a loaf of bread under your arm because the company had typically released only a small portion of its shares, and therefore all of its remaining shares were worth the new higher value. But the Dutch auction is designed more to benefit the company and to squeeze that money away from Wall Street and all those privileged investors who got IPO shares.
Now, I like that part.
And that was supposed to be what helped this. And Fred, isn't it true, though, that some of the lower demand, because the price came in at the low end of the range for Google, and they didn't sell as many shares as they wanted, but isn't so much of that due to the fact that Wall Street doesn't like the Dutch auction process?
Yeah, because they don't make as much money. That's entirely true, Steve. And one of the reasons, too, that it came in is since Wall Street does not like it, they're not making as much money off of it, they poo-pooed the offering, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there was all kind of bad news and questions brought up about the offering, and so it went from a red-hot offering to just a lukewarm one, and that's brought the price down because people begin to wonder, well, is this going to really work now, or am I paying too much? You know, you're paying the P ratios and all that looked like they were much higher than Yahoo's, at least at this year's earnings. So it came down. Now, then what happened, and we knew it would, if the shares, when they opened on the NASDAQ and everyone could buy or sell, if they started to drop, then you would have probably seen a lot of selling. But many people were waiting in the wings, just waiting to see if that $85 a share would hold up or if it would go a little bit higher, then they were ready to buy, assuming that much of what they heard on Wall Street was wrong. And, of course, that is exactly what happened. They did buy. You know, 19 million shares were issued, and yesterday 20 million shares were traded. So
mm-hmm.
we saw a lot of people come in. A lot of people were selling and taking profits when it got up to $90 and $100 a share. And we had plenty in there to support it.
And some folks got rich yesterday in the company. the owners primarily, the two founders primarily. And good for them, by the way. Stand by, Fred. Stand by, Steve. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Fred if he thinks this price was kind of high at 85. What's the precedent for that kind of a launch of an IPO? And I'm going to ask Steve about the future of Google right after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Fred Siegel is our guest, along with Steve DelBianco. Fred is the author of Investing for Cowards. Fred, you've got an outstanding radio show. Tell us where that originates and where it's heard and how we can find you on the net and how we find your books.
It originates at WWL 870 AM in New Orleans. And it can be heard from Houston to Tampa. It's in the Gulf South. And you can find my books at Amazon.com. You can find it on my website, and it's called TheSiegelGroup.com or FredSiegel.com. Might be easier to remember. That's S-I-E-G-E-L, FredSiegel.com. And
all
it's
right,
the best of cowards and the richest man in Babylon for today, right now.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one, the richest man from Babylon. Now, by the way, give us again the call letters and the numbers, the frequency for the AM station there.
Right, the call letter is WWL, and the number to find it on the dial is the AM dial, and it's 870, 870 AM.
And that's on Saturday.
Saturday from Central Time is from noon till 2.
Noon to 2 Central Time. So check that out, folks. It's a great show. I've been fortunate enough to be a guest on Fred's show, and he runs it well, and he's been doing it for a long time, a lot longer than me. So he's got a great organization, and I certainly encourage you to check out his books. Steve DelBianco is with the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it's actonline.org.
And they're a group that represents lots and lots of small business technology companies, right, Steve?
That's right. Small technology companies, individual developers, software developers, and a few large technology companies who yeah. provide platforms that all those other members build on.
ActOnline.org. So check that out when you get a chance. Okay, Fred, is this a high? $85 seems like a high entry level for an IPO.
Well, really, what Steve's answer is going to be when he comes back about what he thinks Google would be doing in the future is going to be the key there, because one of the downsides of investing in technology like this is there's a better technology right around the corner. It's a risk.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, because since it's growing its revenues historically so much and it's now projecting tremendous growth of revenue in the future, it may not be all that much. Right now, the big question is it's being valued higher based on their earnings and so forth. It's being valued higher than Yahoo, and yet what Wall Street is noticing is that next year's earnings projected for Yahoo and projected for Google, if that comes in, it'll be valued much lower than Yahoo. So I think the question is, which do you think is going to be the better organization or the better business to invest in? But overall, you can't look at that $85 or now $100 a share and say it's too high. Revenues coming in projected over the next 12 months seem to substantiate that price.
Yeah. Steve, what do you think?
You know, if we think of it as a pie that Yahoo and Google are fighting over, it makes it a significantly more risky investment decision. On the other hand, if you believe the pie itself is getting bigger, then both companies have an opportunity to continue to manage the growth rates that they have.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that depends on the continued acceptance and growth of the Internet as an advertising and information search medium, because that alone will drive how many eyeballs begin to flock to these search engines. At a growth rate of 60% a year, which is roughly the estimate for the next 3 years that analysts have put in, that would say that Google's pricing today at about 80 times at future earnings. 80 times earnings that are growing at 60% still seems a bit rich to me, and I'm not one of the folks who bought yesterday. I will say this, though, that in the past we've had some brands of Internet technology companies whose going public actually made their brand a household word.
Mm-hmm.
If I mentioned to you Amazon, Yahoo, and eBay, those are companies that none of us heard of until they went public.
Right.
And the story of those companies was the wealth they created for their founders and the rocket ship stock price that they put out there. If in fact, Google continues to have a rise in price, because yesterday was a very impressive price performance, we're going to see folks who are flocking to the search engine because they heard about the company on Wall Street.
Steve, let me ask you a quick question, just for a short answer, please. Do you see this as being as bringing more tech companies to the IPO world in the next few months? Is this good news for those companies?
Yes. Short answer is yes, and the long answer is because the aftermarket stock price performance will make more companies accessible to the IPO market.
Fred, techs have been off the kind of not been favored by the Wall Street in the last few years. Is it coming back?
They have been coming back. At least the last 18 months, they've been looking better. But they still have a long road to go. But as Steve says, what happened here to Google is encouraging, because what that's going to do is going to help other companies with IPOs
right.
Attract people easier because Google works. So we may see that help the entire high-tech arena.
Fred Siegel, got to go, Fred. Thank you for being here. Steve Bianco, thanks both of you for being here. Great job today. See you later, guys. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.